It's 8 o'clock and we'll call Sunderland County Water District order. And I don't have any people that take care of our audit. Let's do our consent agreement if somebody.
All we've got on there is minutes of the last meeting and our annual appraisal district contract, which is just routine of nature.
I make a motion we approve them as printed.
Second. Motion to second to approve the consent agreement. Any further comment? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same signal, aye. It's carried. Down. Annual audit.
Michael Hamby has come to present the audit. He's one of the three principals of Merritt, McLean, and Hamby that performed our audit this year. They did our audit last year as well, as you remember. They're out of Abilene.
All right, well, thank you.
It's all yours.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate being able to do this work for you. And the audit itself went really well. We don't have any findings, so I'm not going to spend time on the stapled letter that's inside the boundary board. In the back of that are the audit adjustments. There are only 7 of them, which is not many at all. And so your bookkeeper's doing a good job, and that's good. Helped us a lot with this, with everything that we needed. Got us some of the information before we came down here, so we were able to get started. And then we had one of our team was unable to make the trip, and so he was working from there, and she kept feeding him information to keep him busy from afar, so that was good too. So he was quite jealous of this view that we had, and we made sure to send them several pictures. But anyway, it went very well, and I am going to, in this report, I'm going to look at our audit opinion, a couple of items on the financial statements, and then note the control situation in the back, and then I'll be done unless there are questions. So on page 3 is the independent auditor's report, and the last paragraph of that page is the opinion, which says, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the governmental activities and each major fund of the Somerville County Water District as of September 30th, 2020, and the respective changes in financial position for the year that ended in conformity with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. So that is a clean audit opinion, or an unqualified audit opinion, which is what you hope that your auditors put on the front of your report, and we did, so that's good. The next page I'm going to look at is page 10, and that is the statement of net position. And really, on the statement of net position, the top half of the page is assets. You've got deferred outflows of resources that relates to the pension plan. Then a section of liabilities, deferred inflows of resources for the pension plan, and then net position. And a couple of things that we look at on this page. First, we look at liquidity. So we're looking at your current assets, which typically, it's cash, investments, and receivables. And then we compare that with current liabilities, so the first break subtotal on the page is the current assets. And when I did my ratio, I subtracted out the restricted cash. That's for debt, I believe that's for debt reserves. And then but then down in the bottom half of the page, the current liability is $75,060, and I added to that the non-current liabilities that are due within the year. So that would be the portion of your debt that's due this year. So 75 and that 1036. When you compare those two, we're hoping to see, we want to see a 2-to-1 ratio at least. We like 3-to-1 better. Yours is over 5-to-1. So that's excellent. And really, you know, with the amount of cash investments that you have, you're able to take care of really almost, well, over a year's worth of expenses. So that's excellent. I mean, we hope to see 6 months or better, and 12 months or better is great. So then the only other thing we look at on this that you don't have any issue with, but we look at, is the fourth line from the bottom, which is net investment in capital assets. And we just want to see that that's a positive number. And the reason is because that's the net of your capital assets. So your distribution system and whatever your equipment and this building, things like that, and net of any debt that you have. And we look at that because oftentimes long-term capital assets are funded with debt, and we want to make sure that as those items depreciate down and as the debt's paid down, your assets are staying above. And you're at over $52 million, so you're not anywhere near a worrisome place on that. But we do, that is one of the items that we typically look at. And then if you'll flip over to page 12, the first column here is your general fund, and it's the place where you're likely to have done the majority of your budget work and budget amendments, etc. That page shows at the bottom, the second to bottom line, total fund balance of $9,251,607. That is an increase of $195,687 from the previous year. And if you kind of hold your finger on that page and flip over two pages to 14, you can see revenues $2,726,962. Expenditures $2,531,275 for the total net of $195,687. So that's good. And anytime you can add to your general fund balance, that's good. It's okay if that number decreases, as long as it's planned. You can set aside or build up your fund balance for capital expenditures or repairs or expansions or major repairs or those kind of things, and that's perfectly fine to do. In this case, you were up, and that's good. And on page 33, toward the back of the report, is your budget to actual for your general fund, which is something that's important to look at as well. And your original budget was a break even. The third line from the bottom, it was zero. So you were planning on zero. When you amended your budget, you went to a minus $200,000, which again, if you plan on going, dipping into your reserves, and in this case it was mainly due to capital outlay, that was where the extra was, that's fine. And that's, but then you ended up, instead of minus 200, you ended up positive 195. So the good news there is, you were 164, 556 under budget on your expenditures, and your revenues came in 231,000 over budget, mainly due to the interest on your 190,000 of that was your interest on investments. You only had one line item that was over budget, but in total you were under budget significantly in your expenditure, so in very good shape there.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
Whenever, as we go through the year and we always have line items that go over budget, line items that come under budget, and typically we'll do a budget revision or two or three through the year to adjust those. Is that something that is really necessary, or can we just let it go and at the end of the year you just report it like you just did and say these items were over, but as a whole, y'all were under? I mean, is it?
Well, it's, by statute, you're not supposed to go over. So
like what?
By statute, the state.
Okay.
The governmental, the statutes say for governments that you're not supposed to spend money that isn't authorized. And the definition of authorized is budgeted. So before you spend the money, you're supposed to budget for it. If you're gonna have to spend more than what's in the budget, you should increase that budget. I don't think that I know of any cases where any the state has come back at anybody to say, hey, you didn't amend your budget and yeah, you were over. And
but it's a good process to policy to do it.
I think, and you don't have to do it. Our recommendation is that if you're tracking stuff monthly and you want to do it every month or every quarter, you can.
Yeah.
If you have major projects that are going to happen, like, and it appears maybe that was the case here where you went up $200,000 on your capital expenditures, then it's probably a good idea to go ahead and fix that before.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, if you can make some estimates at least on what the accruals and things like that will be, things that you're not actually going to have to pay for until maybe after the end of the year, but the work's been done, those kind of things, then that will be over. But you're right, in total, as far as we're concerned, when we're looking at, we're really looking at, we look at each a line item or category, but in total, if you're under, we're not going to have a finding.
Okay.
You know, the county, they have budget amendments every meeting.
Every meeting, they clean. Yeah, they do. They clean them all up every meeting, and I guess that's kind of what I'm asking. Should we be doing that more like the county does? Clean all the overages up every month, or what we do is I think whenever Michael tells us to, we only do one if we're over on.
If you're a tiny bit over or you're running a little bit over with the knowledge that you're going to clean it up, if you're under in total, I don't think you have to do it every single month. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you're not checking the date, you're just checking to see if we got it cleaned up in an amendment in the fiscal year.
That's all we look at.
As an auditor, you're not going back checking the sequence of dates when we clean it up and when we spend it.
Correct. We do not do that.
You're only looking at it for the whole fiscal year, whether it got cleaned up or not.
Yeah,
we recognize it or not. So we could actually do it the last month of the year, we could clean all of them.
Right.
Is, I think, what you
can do that. You can, and some cities and governments do that.
Yeah.
When you're varying just slight amounts up and down, it's a lot of work for small benefit. If you have large projects and you know you get a grant, for example, so you have revenue coming in, and you're gonna spend it, but you didn't budget for it because you didn't know if you'd get the grant.
Yeah.
Well, you probably wanna go ahead and do that one because you know it's large and it wasn't in there. But just minor things where repairs go over and that kind of thing, you don't necessarily have to do that certainly every month.
You know, the situation we find ourselves in at the end of every year, it seems like, is we have an annual contract going, and we've got a good contractor out there working, putting pipeline in, and we get to the end of our budget, our construction budget, and we want, and we'll have a couple of months of good weather in September, in August and September to put pipeline in, and we decide to go over our budget, over the entire budget, and pull some out of reserve, out of that cat. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, is there, as long as the board takes that action.
Yeah, as long as you approve it, and I would suggest that you always amend the budget.
Yeah. At the same time.
Yeah, well, yeah, at least before the end of the year.
Yeah, okay.
Because what we find is, you know, we'll read through the minutes at some places, and we'll see stuff's approved, and then no budget amendments ever made, and so they're over, sometimes in total. And we have to report a finding. We know it's been approved, but there was no formal action to amend the budget, and we were required
to put that schedule in there.
And if it's negative, we have to show a finding.
So that becomes a finding if the board approves it, but you don't do the budget. Now, okay.
Yeah. And we remind people to do that, but sometimes they just don't. And it's really on y'all to get it in front of these guys.
Yeah.
For them to do it, but sometimes they just don't. And we know that everything's approved, and we know they're not just spending money y'all aren't spending money that they don't know about or that kind of thing. But if it doesn't get in the budget, then we have to report it.
Okay.
And again, even though we report it and there's a finding, I haven't seen the state ever do anything about it. But there is a possibility, I think, you know, possibly, that if you were to try to issue bonds, that it might be a lower rating or something like that if they could see a history of findings. I don't know that for sure. I don't know how they do their bond ratings, but y'all are in such good financial position. As long as you keep your budget good, at least by the end of the year, you should be fine.
Okay.
The last thing I wanted to mention is on page 51, and this is our letter related to your controls. And we look at your disbursements, and what we do is we look at a sample of your payroll, and in that we'll look at to make sure that their gross pay is what's supposed to be paid according to the personnel file, and then also also, we look to see that any deductions are authorized. So if there's different things coming out of there, and then we recalculate net pay. So we'll look at that. We look at almost all capital expenditures, and we look at all debt payments. And then we do a sample of every other, all the rest. And what we're looking for is to make sure that the payments are made to the correct vendor for the correct amount, on a timely basis. We don't see a lot of payments in February for stuff that was done in October or something like that. And we didn't find in this letter, the second to last paragraph on that page 51 says that we did not identify any deficiencies in internal controls that we consider to be material weaknesses. So we didn't see anything that would indicate a problem where it would be likely that there would be an error or fraud, and it wouldn't be caught somehow by either y'all looking at what's spent every month, or the review process, or dual signatures, or whatever it is. The controls that are in place would likely catch those things, and that's what that's saying. And then the last paragraph on that page, that last sentence says the results of our tests disclose no instances of noncompliance or other matters required to be reported under government auditing. So that means we didn't find any cases where checks were made out to the wrong place, or where the vendor was a related party that wasn't disclosed and we didn't, found out about it, that kind of thing. Or any of those things that I mentioned that we checked for. So That's good too. And I always mention it, I always mention that page back there because we are looking at that stuff and it is important. You know, if, when you have a smaller organization, there are fewer people touching things and you need to make sure that they're, everybody's checking what's going on. Having a bookkeeper that's, you know, off-site is a big help. And Mr. Cody looking through and reviewing stuff, that's a great help too. So you have a lot, you have very good controls in place that, that some smaller office areas don't have, but in any case, our report says we didn't find anything or see anything. So that's good. And I'm done, unless there are questions or things you want me to talk about more. I'm happy to do that.
I got a couple of points I'd like to throw out there and then a question.
Okay.
Kevin sent this to us in an email. With everything that's going on, I think I've actually went through every page of this. I didn't understand it all, but I went through every page.
Okay.
One of the things that I saw that I didn't understand as construction in progress is listed as an asset. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how is that an asset if that's just being done? And we have not accepted that. But when you look at the overall picture, it's from the beginning to the end of the process that that budget amount is set in there. So you're calling it an asset even during the construction period when we haven't even received it. But I understand that now.
Okay.
The other thing is, in reading all this, I compare y'all to engineers. It's like you give all this report, but you're not responsible for anything. And what I'm saying is I'm smiling.
Okay.
So I thought that was good. And the other thing, I think that before, the only thing that I've looked at in this deal is like the last page of the 53. Page 53, where it says there are no findings.
Yeah.
So that's what we care about.
And yeah.
So I think that's good. As long as we get that, we're in good shape. And then the final question is, do you do other water districts or MUDs or anything like we are?
We do quite a few SUDs, special utility districts. We do water districts. Water supply corporations, which are nonprofits, and I think we do one other water district.
And with that, the question was where do we stack up in all the other districts that you are associated with?
Well, in all the governmental stuff that we do, the cities and the SUDs and all of that, y'all are your financial position with that, your cash situation versus your liabilities and that, you're in, I want to say, better shape than any of them, or at very at the top one or two, if not. I'm trying to think if there's any others that have that kind of, I don't think there are. I think there's one, we have one water supply corporation that is very proactive with their rates, and they tend to ease their rates up, if not annually, by every other year, in anticipation of things that are going to happen later. And so they are now debt free, and so they're in good shape because they don't have any debt at all. But that's a rare thing to see with a large water distribution system. So,
well, that's good news. That's what I was hoping to hear, that we're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I yield the remainder of my time.
Okay.
I think we've got $4 million set aside in case of extreme damage to them.
$7 million.
Dam and so forth. And we did that many years ago, I can't remember. And I wonder if it's adequate now. to cover what we tried to cover when we put it in, and if it was, I don't hear it ever mentioned in the audit.
It's, it's 7 million, 7.1 million.
It's 7 now.
Yes, it always has been up there close to 7 million.
We did increase it one time.
Yeah, I think it started out at 4 million.
Oh, there's where our starting number was that I remember.
Yeah, well, here's, Kim's got the starting number here on this report. It was, started out at 6.8 million, and now with interest, it's up to 7.1 million. So it's still, you know, a little bit more than it was.
I don't expect an earthquake, but who's...
Let's hold that.
You know, one of the reason that the board set that up initially is when we started insuring our properties, our dam out here was just almost uninsurable because of the cost to replace it. And you know, we established that as kind of a self-insurance to do work to the dam if we ever had problems on some of the things that we really couldn't insure.
Right.
And so that's why that was set up to begin with. And it was just a good way to justify saving that, putting up that much money for a rainy day.
Yeah.
That's what the board did, and it's, you know, it's stayed in place.
Now is that in a separate foundation? Where is it?
It's in that capital maintenance trust fund. I mean, it's
in the trust fund. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in that trust fund.
Yeah, our intention was to, we had high hopes of drawing enough interest off of it to cover some of our maintenance and our other items, infrastructure depreciated 10, 20 years down the road. That has not been the case particularly, but someday interest will go up.
You know, back to that, because Dallas had that. Remember when that dam here a few years ago, they had Lake Dallas, the old Lake Dallas dam is what failed. So we could do, I don't know how you'd ever be perfectly covered, but we'd have something to start with anyway.
Yeah.
Who checks the dam to see that it's not deteriorating?
The state, there's a division of the TCEQ, the dam safety division. They come every 5 years. Matter of fact, they just came here, what was it, 6 months?
2019, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in 2019. They came and looked at it. We didn't get our report till for a year. So I think in October, November, we got our report. And now they have a few minor little cosmetic things for us to work on. And, you know, that they just took few weeks for us to get ready, but yeah, we're in compliance with regard to the dam.
Any further questions? How about a motion?
I make a motion to approve the audit as printed.
Second.
Have a motion second. As the audit is printed. Any further comments? Not all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Carries. Thank you.
Let them sideways so he can move on.
Yeah.
I just understand the whole thing.
Good.
I have looked at that.
As accountants, we sometimes assume terms or terminology is understood, but most people don't. Normal people don't understand some of it. So I'm glad you did it. That's good.
Well, nobody considers me normal, so not
really. I have never been accused of that. So.
No, it's the I appreciate our staff.
I'm going to have them sign another one. So we're good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, Mike.
Next thing I think is the general manager's report. I'll go over that real quick. First thing I got on there is the Vistra Corp value update. Just giving y'all an update on what's going on with our plat value this year. So Wes has already negotiated or set a value on the plant that they agreed with. I won't say negotiated, but it does end up being a negotiation, I guess. But we've got a value set, and it's the earliest I can remember ever getting done. I think finally we've got somebody, you know, we've got when we came out of our lawsuit here a few years ago, we didn't get the value we wanted, but we did get a method for setting that value, and nowadays they're sticking to that method that we set it by, which is to use the, you know, the price of wholesale electricity. And this year we got a deal settled with them pretty soon, pretty quickly, mainly based on the. And correct me if I'm wrong with any of this, Lee or Nemo, that y'all sit in on the meetings. But that's what we're doing nowadays, is we're setting that plant value by what the wholesale price of electricity is at the given time. This year, we're down about $100 million to a value of $1,555 million, which is, it's not in here. It's just a note I've got here. Which is a good value. It's good for us to know this early in the year what it's going to be. It makes it easier for all the taxing entities to set their budgets and work everything out whenever we know.
Is it an increase in our?
It's a decrease of about $100 million, which is not all that much when you're talking in terms of plant value. That's not much plant value, but it's a little bit of a decrease from last year, which last year was up a little bit over the previous years, but it's a good value. It's a good number for us to work with. So anyway, the appraisal district guys did a good job getting that done. You know, one thing that we all have to keep in mind is we move forward, they've still got a permit that expires in 2028 out there. There's no sign that they're not going to renew that permit, but Wes has told me, you know, they have not filed to renew that permit yet. So, you know, until they file to renew that permit, you know, we really can't take anything for granted as we move past, you know, the next 7 years.
But the way the state's growing, electricity demand is more.
And you would think they have to. You would think they have to do it.
Where they recover it.
It's such a big part of their grid. You would think that they have to do something to, you know, maintain that capacity that they've got with this plant. So anyway, it's
that'd probably be like a 5-year process, wouldn't it?
Man, I don't know how long. You would think it would be several years.
Yeah.
But. Anyway, next thing I've got on my report is waterline extensions. If you skip to the third page of those waterline extensions to see where we're at. We finished 2010 out there. That took us to the backside of Fossil Rim. And now we've started in Hill Country Estates. Hill Country Estates is a subdivision down off of 202. Where 202 is the road that goes by the Oaks. If you go on past the Oaks, this Hill Country Estates is on the opposite side of the road. It was a subdivision Dan Wiegand put in initially, then I think Dwayne Staples purchased it from him, and Dwayne built most of the houses in it. It's got the typical well set up in there, and they finally got fed up with their well agreements and operating off them wells. So we're going in there, and we had enough customers sign up to justify us going in there and providing water to the whole subdivision. So when we can get a subdivision like that, it's good, you know, because we end up getting most all of them typically.
There's a new subdivision out on 56 south of where you're talking about.
Yes.
Are we putting water in?
That's Robert Ward's subdivision is probably the one he's talking about. Yeah, Robert Ward, Peggy Ward's husband, is putting in a little subdivision down there, and yeah. Yeah, he's using our water.
Good. Hey, it's just amazing to me the place you look, somebody putting a subdivision.
Yeah. And I hadn't seen one, you know, I hadn't seen one in a while that didn't end up planning on using our water. Most all of them now are planning on using our water. They're not doing them if they can't get access to Water District water.
You know, I talked to Phil Vineyard, and he said people come to buy, first thing they will know is it on the water.
Yeah.
They know about it away from here, and they're moving in.
The Hill Country Estates, it's typical of most of the subdivisions. People, they're maintaining their yards all the way to the edge of the pavement, so they consider that county right-of-way their property because they're maintaining it, and those are the customers that we get a lot of complaints from. And, you know, when we go in there, it's a real mess, especially when you're in there in the spring. But it's a good time to be in there. Even though it's a mess, it's a good time because we'll be out of there by the time late spring rolls around, and you know, that we'll get it, grass will start growing. Before you know it, they'll forget about all the mud we left behind. But it's a mess, and you may get complaints from people living out there if you
complain to us for leaving somebody else.
Yeah. Anyway, we always get lots of complaints when we get in those subdivisions, but they're just tickled to death a year later when everything grass is over and they've got water. Next thing is I've got is our bank statement balances. They always look good in February because we've just got our check from the appraisal district. General fund is that back up to 3.3 million. Interesting sinking fund that we pay our bonds out of is up to 1.2. We've got enough money to pay bonds for the year. Capital maintenance and trust fund, we talked about it a while ago, it's up to 7.129 million.
And we took, first of all, remember, we took 250 out, didn't we, for the new service fund?
Yeah, we did, a couple of years ago.
Was it a couple of years ago?
No, it was in 19. So it was a year ago, no, yeah.
So actually two years ago was budget-wise.
Yeah.
So it's represented in the general fund balance now, what we haven't used of it, if there's any of it left.
Yeah, I think we've used most all of it.
Have we used all of it? Yeah.
Now that down at the very bottom of that page, Ben, you can see what we started out with in that capital maintenance and trust starting balance, 6.8, and then you can see, you know, what we've spent out of it. In 17, we spent $120,000 out of it. That was it just for water lines?
Compressors.
That was compressors down at the treatment plant. That's right. We had to put in new compressors down there. And then in 19, we used, we moved $250,000 over there to get started on that building. Next thing I've got is the water usage report. Look at it. We sold 15 million gallons last year, generated almost $43,000 in revenue. And that's about the same as we sold the last two January. So we're staying, you know, we're adding a lot of customers, but we're staying consistent on the usage. And I think, you know, the only thing I can attribute it to is we probably, since we've got more customers online, we're probably having to do less flushing. Is that right? So we still in pretty good shape. Now the city at this time of year is using 100% of our water. So we, you know, it's not something where the city's using less water. Next thing is Wheeler Branch Park yearly report. See December. Yeah, January is about the same as it was last year, a little bit more than last year. And I had one other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about that I don't have on this report, but as you drive by the old Seago place down there at Big Rocks, you notice, I know, y'all noticed that equipment down there. And it was either in 15 or 16, we approved, to allow the city to put a lift station down in the very western, northwestern corner of that piece of property. They had to go through the Water Development Board to get the money for it, so it was a long process, but they finally got their money and they're putting that lift station in now. We're letting them use that whole parking lot. It's gonna work out pretty good for them, but that parking lot will probably be used as a construction area for the next, through the summer. It'll probably be fall or maybe winter by the time they finish that thing up. It's a pretty good job. It's a deep hole they've got to dig. They said 50 feet? I think they're having to dig a 50-foot deep lift station, which is it's a pretty deep hole. So they've got to, they've got to dig a pretty wide hole there. And if you remember, what we got in exchange for that was we asked them to maintain that park down there from now on. So they've taken over the mowing of the grass. And I said, just got mowed. Did they mow it?
Yes.
Yeah, they've already included it in their mowing contract, so we're not having to maintain that anymore. And they're gonna pick the trash up for it. So, things are working out like we had hoped down there. We just gotta get that construction out of the way. Part of it, when they bid that job, they included a bunch of asphalt in it. So I think, a big part of that parking lot will end up being asphalted by the time they get through with the construction down there. So the city is, stepping up in that regard. But
will they be able to use all of that, or will it be an area that they can't park over?
There will be an area down at the very end, up against that, closest to that house, that it's just going to be the lift station. It won't be able to be used for parking. As a matter of fact, I think they may have to put a fence around it. The TCEQ is going to require them to put a little fence around it, but yeah, we'll lose the use of the very, very end of the lot.
With the lift station out here on 67 from Press Reels, is that that's the only lift station they'll be for the area?
Yeah, that's
where Jimmy's going to build houses.
Yeah, that's the lift station. From there, they still plan on running the sewer line back over to Rainbow. It's that sewer line's going to run all the way to about right in front of the cemetery. That's the low point over there. And Jimmy's subdivision will drain. Sewer will drain to the front of the cemetery, and then it'll go down. Then it'll go down to that. That lift station they put at Tres Rios.
Will they come by just down the highway?
Yeah, I think they're gonna. I'm not sure how the route that they're taking, but they're gonna.
Going across the golf course.
They're not going across the golf course. I think they're gonna go in front of the golf course, and then turn and then go down that road next to the RV spot there.
Yeah.
I got the agreement. We're working on that. I sent that new water agreement to the attorney. She's working on it. She got me a draft of it last Thursday. It looks pretty good. I'm going to look it over and work out a couple of things and bring it back to you guys at our next meeting.
And does the city know that it's going to drop into a dollar?
I haven't told them. I've told them what I had suggested. I've told the city manager, he knows y'all haven't approved it. It's something that you guys are gonna have to approve. We're gonna have to look it on paper. But I told him that, we're considering lowering it. And I told him what the savings would be if we dropped it at a dollar, but I didn't tell him that we were gonna drop it for sure to a dollar. I just told him what the difference in what they've been paying would be versus what, a dollar would make it. And I was comparing it to the franchise fee that he was hoping to get, that they're not going to get. But anyway, we'll probably need to meet next month and hash out that water agreement and see if it's okay with you guys. And that's all I've got.
Adjourned.
My motion, I'll second. If you're in favor, get up and I'll bring you more coffee.